Okay, good evening. We're now recording for the May 29th, 2018, Porch Cove St. Phillips Council meeting.
Thank you, Claudine. We'll bring the meeting to order. We have somebody adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Counselor Bartlett, seconded by Counselor Neary. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carry. And we all have our attendance tonight is Counselor Neary, Counselor Bartlett, Counselor Harding, Tony Pollard, our town clerk, Johnny Hanlon, Counselor Hanlon, I should say, Counselor Stuart Sharp, Deputy Mayor Lahan, Claudine Murray, our deputy town clerk, Jeff Lawler of Economic Development, Les Spurl, Planning Development, and Nick Miller with Recreation. And I'm here. Okay, we have a couple of proclamations tonight. Mute this off. Can you hear me? We have proclamation Recreation Month. In June is Pedestrian Safety Month in Portugal Cove St. Phillips. So maybe we could sign those. Is there anybody here from?
PCSP?
Yeah. You want to come up? Norma?
Sure.
And I'll read it out. June is Pedestrian Safety Month in Portugal Cove St. Phillips. Whereas recent research in the United States and Europe shows a link between communities that are conducive to walking and fewer pedestrian injuries, and whereas child pedestrians are most often hurt in the months of September and October, followed by May and June. Whereas it is virtually important that Safe PCSP and the Town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips, Newfoundland work together to ensure the safety of every pedestrian, cyclist, and runner in PCSP. Whereas Safe PCSP joined firefighters, medical professionals, schools, hospitals, police officers, and other committed citizens in the cause of pedestrian safety. Now, therefore, I, Carol McDonald, Mayor, do hereby proclaim June 2018 as Pedestrian Safety Month in Portugal Cove St. Phillips. And call upon the residents of Portugal Cove St. Phillips to join with me in supporting the efforts and activities of Safe PCSP to prevent pedestrian injuries, and furthermore, that every day will be dedicated to keeping our walkers, runners, and cyclists safe from injury. And we have Norma of PCSP here with us tonight. So, Norma. Thank you very much.
Here. This is the billboard that will go up this week or Monday, Friday or Monday. And also the campaign, I want to mention, Hey Neighbor, Please Slow Down. Again, if anyone wants it, wants this in their street, we usually put 20 signs, 10 on either side. You can contact me, safepcsp@gmail.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, June is Recreation Month, so I guess Nick is here from Recreation, and I'll read this one as well. Whereas the Town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips recognizes that recreation enhances quality of life, active living, and lifelong learning, helps people to live happier and longer, develops creativity, and builds healthy bodies and positive lifestyles. And whereas recreation provides opportunities for personal growth and development for people of all abilities and can be especially helpful to people living with disabilities. And whereas our parks, open spaces, and trails ensure ecological sustainability, provide space to enjoy nature, help maintain clear air and water, and preserve plant and animal wildlife, And whereas recreation is an important contributor to community economic development, which creates jobs, fosters tourism, and makes communities more attractive places in which to live, learn, work, and play. Therefore, the community of Fort Chicago St. Phillips does hereby proclaim the month of June to be recreation month. So sign this 29th day of May, 2018. I could have stood up. Thank God. Do you want to sign it? Oh, I signed it in the wrong place.
No one's got it.
Thank you very much. Okay. Now, can we have somebody move the minutes? Moved by Councillor Bartlett, seconded by Deputy Mayor Lehan. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried. Is there any business arising from the minutes? From the councillors? Okay.
We'll just say for the record that there was the minutes are adopted as changed. The seconder for the adoption of the agenda of May 15th was Deputy Mayor Lehan, and the seconder of the adoption of the minutes for the same meeting was Deputy Mayor Lehan.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our town manager is out of town this evening, so we have our town clerk who's going to give us a report.
Thank you, Your Worship. In no particular order, and by no particular sense either. As Your Worship just indicated, that Chris is out of town this week, and following up on that, he'll be out of town next week as well, as will myself and Claudine will be out on conference in Corner Brook. So we may have to do some rescheduling of some of the committee meetings. We just went through the process of the first round of interviews for the Director of Public Works. We had 8 applicants that we interviewed, and we're just waiting now to rank all those 8 candidates and go for second rounds, which should be done within the next 2 weeks, I would think. Summer hours, for all those who are interested, will start Monday, June 11th, 2018, and run until Friday, September 14th. So that means that the office will now be closing at 4 o'clock during the daytime. On the recreation side of things, I'm not sure how much Dawn has included in her reports and that, but from the events, there's going to be a partnership with Community Garden for kindergartens to learn how to plant seeds and watch the garden grow over the summer. The staff will also be participating in Brookside and Beachy Cove Elementary Sports Day in the coming weeks, and plans are currently underway for Canada Day festivities as well as the Regatta Festival to take place during the weeks June 30 to July 7th. In regards to that, as always, and I don't think we ever report much on the actual activities of recreation in terms of numbers and how we're doing participation-wise, but the day camps for both Camp Wadiat and Little Gaffer's Camp are, I'd say, 95% full at the present time, and our revenues are pretty much on par as to where we thought they might be from the budget perspective, which is great. We had some glitches with the computer program, so if anybody has experienced some angst in trying to get their children registered, we apologize for that, but it is a work in process and it will be adjusted as we move forward with more events. On the field, softball field and soccer field side of things, I think it's really encouraging to see that for the most part our fields are pretty well utilized for the full year. And once again, the revenue is, we had budgeted somewhere in $90,000 for the revenue, and to date we're at $80,600-ish, give or take. We still have seven weekends booked for the summer, and all of June is booked, and we expect that as we move throughout the summer, the other months will get booked in as well for July and August. And that will essentially take care of just about all the free time that we have available, with the exception of the daytime, obviously, when there is no one around to be using the field necessarily. So kudos to recreation staff on putting that all together. The update on Meadow Heights. Meadow Heights started last week. The contractors are in the process of raising the manhole tops and valves. They expect to do some grading at the lift station later this week or next, and they're scheduled to pave the final layer of asphalt next week as well. There's still some sods to be done, but early in the year yet for sods, so as soon as they're available, they will be laid down in the Meadow Heights and we finished, and we can move on. You notice that some line painting has started. They were doing some line painting down by the school yesterday, and that will continue, but it's weather dependent, and if it's wet or cold, they won't be doing any painting, so it'll be a couple of weeks, I guess, in the ongoing to get the line painting all finished. Road sweeping is complete, and they're presently reviewing the condition of the roads to find out what the asphalt repair program is going to look like for the summer. And once that's done, there should be a tender going out for contractors to come in and do their work sometime in the next 2 weeks. All the seasonal hires are pretty well hired as per discussions and budget and the council motions over the past couple of weeks. One area of concern that did come up is that we have a leaky PRV valve, and there's also another leak down at the church, I know at the RC church. And while I don't know yet whether or not that is a substantial amount of water running free, there's running 35% over where we were this time last year in terms of water consumption. So I'm getting Public Works to take a look at that and see if we can't narrow that down and do something about those leaky situations. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we go to our report, committee reports. So, Councilor Harding with Planning and Development.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Planning and Development Committee met on May the 22nd with Councilor Harding as chair, Deputy Mayor Laham, Councilor Johnny Hanlon, Les Borough Planning and Development Coordinator for items 9, 10, 12, 19 to 22, and David Beckett as Development Control Officer. Also in attendance were Mayor Carol McDonald, Chris Milley, Town Manager and Engineer, and resident for item 16. Motion number 1, civic number 31 of 51 Hogan's Pond Road, subdivide property. The committee recommends that the application to subdivide property at civic 31 of 51 Hogan's Pond Road be rejected as per Appendix A of the tabled report. And that's so moved.
I have a seconder. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any question, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion number 2, civic number 666 to 670 in the Emil Line, accessory building. Committee recommends that the application for an accessory building at civic number 666 to 670 in the Emil Line be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Laham. Any discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion number 3, civic number 700 to 704 Old Broad Cove Road, accessory building. Committee recommends that the application for an accessory building at civic number 700 to 704 Old Broad Cove Road be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded
by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion number 4, civic number 24 to 32, Wester Gully Road, a business personal service. The committee recommends that the application for a personal service business, a beauty salon, at civic number 2432 Wester Gully Road be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion number 5, civic number 1952, Portugal Cove Road, business, fisheries, other marine. The committee recommends that the application for a fisheries business, adventure tours, at civic number 1952, Portugal Cove Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion?
Just great to see adventure, like an adventure tourism, a fishery thing, coming out of our harbor. That's a great, in my opinion, that's a great thing for our tourism this year.
Sure. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion number 6, Ocean's Edge variance request. Committee recommends that the request for 7.2% variance on a minimum lot area for civic number 3, Ocean's Edge, be granted approval in as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded
by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion number 7, civic number 1910 to 1914, Portugal Cove Road, request for municipal approval. Committee recommends that the council forward correspondence stating that the town has no objection to the proposed alteration renovation of existing licensed premises at Civic Number 1910 1914 Portugal Cove Road to increase the licensed floor area in the restaurant as Appendix A of the tabled report. And that's so moved.
The seconder? Seconded by Councilor Neri. Is that the one on the wharf?
No, that's not the one on the wharf. That's actually the old Wild Horse.
Okay.
And again, it's great to see new business starting up and doing stuff in Portugal Cove, St. Phillips.
Okay, good. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Undecided? Carried.
Motion number 8, the Department of Fisheries and Land Resources Crown Land Application Referral for Civic Number 49-51 Round Pond Road. Committee recommends that council correspond with the Department of Fisheries and Land Resources advising the town recommends approval for a license to occupy Crown Land at Civic Number 49-51 Round Pond Road for residential use as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded
by Deputy Mayor Lahan. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contraminded? Carried.
Motion number 9, Civic Number 7781 Toll Road, rodent complaint. On March 27, 2018, the committee met with residents and discussed a rodent problem that they are experiencing on their property that they believe to be caused by bird feeders and adjacent property. The committee advised staff to correspond with the property owner at Civic Number 6975 Toll Road and 7781 Toll Road, advising that with respect to the town's involvement, this matter is considered resolved. And that's just for information only. I'd like to pass that over to John because Councillor Hanlon had a lot to do with some new information.
Resolved from planning development's perspective, we are still carrying forward a policy around the feeding of wildlife to try to prevent this type of activity and issue from coming up again. It may not prevent it from coming up, but we'll have a better recourse when it comes to the town's involvement to help fix it in a more expeditious manner. Right now, there is two or three department levels involved, whereas once we get our own policy, we'll be able to take care of it in-house and more directly. So there's a portion of it in protective services, but just to say that it's been resolved from planning development's perspective, it's still ongoing with protective services.
Thank you very much.
Item number 10, proposed amendment to traditional community zone boundaries. The committee puts forward notice that a motion will be presented at the June 12, 2018 public council meeting to complete an amendment to the town's municipal plan and development regulations 2014-2024. This proposed amendment will redesignate and rezone infill development along Beachy Cove Road from the current zoning boundary to Civic Number 211-213 Beachy Cove Road inclusive, from residential to traditional community on the generalized future land use map, and residential medium density to traditional community on the development regulations map. Item number 11, proposed amendment to increase maximum cul-de-sac lengths. Committee puts forward notice that a motion will be presented at the June 12, 2018 public council meeting to complete an amendment on development regulation 90C subdivision design standards with the town's development regulations 2014-2024 to increase the maximum street length of fully serviced, semi-serviced, and unserviced streets from 300 meters to 409 meters at its furthest point. Items number 12 to 27 are other items that were discussed at the committee's meeting. Detailed information regarding these items can be found in Appendix A of the table report. Permits issued. There were 20 permits issued from May 4th to May 17th, 2018, as per Appendix A of the table report. Lots going on, and that is my report there, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilor. Recreation and Community Services, Councilor Stewart Sharp.
Recreation and Community Services, Wednesday, May 23rd, in attendance, myself as chair, Councilor Hanlon, Councilor Neri, and Don Sharp as director. Number 1, park hours. The sport coordinator has received inquiries for rentals later than the hours of operation for the park. For this reason, the Recreation Committee would like to put forward the following recommendation. Motion, committee recommends that the town change the closing time for Rainbow Gully Park and Voisey's Brook Park from 11 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Sunday to Thursday. So moved.
Seconded by Councilor Neri. We have any discussion on
All in favor?
Aye.
Under my carried.
Number two, Lifestyle Center Business Case Study. The request for proposal for Portugal Cove St. Philip's Lifestyle Center Business Case Study closed on Friday, May 15th. Proposals were requested from six companies: Ryan Research, Deloitte, Gibson and Snow, Ethics, KPMG, Plank Marketing, and Gardner Pinfall. One proposal was received from Gardner Pinfall in association with Track Consulting. Please see the documents attached. The price quoted was $22,000, which is well within the $40,000 budgeted noted in the project charter. The Recreation Committee reviewed the proposal for the business case study for the Lifestyle Center submitted by Gardner Pinfall and would like to put forward the following recommendation. Motion. Committee recommends that the town accept the proposal from Gardner Pinfall Incorporation in association with Track Consulting to develop a business case study for the Lifestyle Center for $22,000 HST. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Neary. Any discussion?
I've just got a couple of questions. After the business case study is done, are we at the go, no-go point then as to whether we're going to move forward or decide what we're going to do with it? Is that like the last step before we decide?
Are we going to
make a decision?
That at least would give us more information to get to that point, right? We can't say for sure. This might come back and say that it's not feasible, period. Give it up, go away, it's finished kind of thing. And it may be, it's going to come back to here for the
it's
next
gonna
step.
It's
going to
show us
same,
if it's
right?
feasible or not.
Very good.
Yeah. Is this a part of the drawings that we had before? Or
Track did some work on this project before, so they are coming in under Gardner Pinfall. So I'm sure that they will bring some of their previous work to Pinfall to be looked at.
So it is 22,000 plus HST and no more.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Tony, do you have anything to add to that? Or
this is all part and parcel of the new round of Lifestyle Center study. Let's put that way, when we started. Mm-hmm. So part of John would have gone to Gardner Pinfall to understand what programs are going to be operating, and then they'd go to America and do an American survey and see what the potential revenues are and what the operation looks like and see whether or not it's feasible or not at this point in time. So, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to just explain a little bit more around how Track's involvement came into play, because it would be the same as if you were going to redesign a town and somebody had all the surveys done prior to. They've got the floor plans, plot plans of what we've got in particular areas of the town, and they've got the background. Gardner Pinfall is a company that's it operates here, but it doesn't have the background, so they bought into this information, whereas if they had to start and do it themselves, it would have drove the price even higher than the 22,000. So although Tract is not the lead on this, they have the background and the stuff in their files that can help, and at the end of the day, it actually saves us money if we want to get the same type of report.
Was it Tract that presented the drawings to us last time? It was a different company. It wasn't Tract.
Well, see, this is all coming back from the main lifestyle recreation master plan that was developed years ago, and that was done by Track way back when. And this gives us, they know what we've got. They've got the plot plans of what we started out with. Right now, we've got to get the updated information that it didn't go down that road. It went to what we have currently. And without having the templates for this, what the town has, it's hard to, we would have to start from scratch, right? So they can provide that. The updated information is the part that Gardner brings in, and then what currently is the business case, right?
Yeah, but the drawings that we had last time when they came in presented.
In regards to the drawings, what do you mean? The drawings of the building itself?
Yeah, the building
or
itself.
The building itself was total concept at the time.
Yeah.
This business case study might tell you that you need to be a completely different square footage, or it might need to
rearrange the way.
It was a concept to get us to where we are now to go forward. That would be what we would want. Maybe the base business case study tells us that it needs to be 10,000 bigger
work.
Or smaller, maybe work, whatever case. You had to have something to go with.
to say it was exactly what ended up in that picture. At this point now, it's hard to say.
So that'll be that. Those plans we passed off to them, and they'll.
Right, because
yeah, they'll get those rocks.
Right. Oh yeah. They will be involved with that part and.
Track answers to Gardner Pinfold.
Right, they're the ones providing this, the information to them.
Okay. Any others? All in favor?
Aye.
Don't mind it. Carried.
Number three, youth committee. A resident community expressed interest in forming a youth committee in the community. The recreation director informed the committee that she reached out to the youth in the past and had no luck. But with the opening of Brookside Intermediate, the town has been more engaged with that school-aged youth. The recreation director will meet with the residents to discuss steps to try to move this initiative forward. June is Recreation Month. Recreation Department has planned activities at Beachy Cove Elementary and Brookside Intermediate for the June is Recreation Month campaign. There will also be a community challenge that will be on the website to give residents a chance to win prizes. Number five, summer activities for the community. The Recreation Committee discuss activities that are taking place in other municipalities in the region, and the Recreation Director notified the committee that all suggestions were greatly appreciated. Planning for 2019 schedule of events takes place in September, and new programs and events will be considered at that time. Number six, Plaid for Dad. The town of Portugal Cove, St. Phillips, will be turning its workplace into Plaid this June. On Friday, June 15, staff will make a donation to Plaid for Dad, prostate cancer campaign. Staff will also be encouraged to participate in other fun activities and will host a barbecue for the public during lunch hour. This will be advertised through social media and on the town signs. All proceeds made will go to Plaid for Dad campaign. Number seven, safety cap for the soccer field fence. The perimeter of the netting for Rainbow Gully soccer pitch is currently being installed by Provincial Fencing and Windhall. Upon inspection of the installation, it is brought to our attention that a safety cap for the soccer field fence is necessary to prevent the tearing of the netting. This is not a budgeted item. However, without the cap, the netting will have to be replaced every season. The committee would like to make the following recommendation. Motion. Committee recommends that the town purchase a safety top cap for the Rainbow Gully soccer field for $4,059.86 plus tax. So moved.
Seconder?
Second.
Second by Councillor Neary. Any discussion?
One question. The budgeted amount for the netting, is there enough left over from that to cover cap so that it's basically budgeted?
I'd have to go back and check on that. I don't think so. I think the netting was pretty much where we said it was going to be at the end of the day, but I'll certainly check.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Undermined. Carried.
Number eight, Boathouse Extension. The Recreation Department, in conjunction with the Facilities Department, need to address the issue of lack of storage for all the supplies and materials. Since both departments allocate money in the budget for storage, it would be best to construct a storage unit that others can utilize. The committee would like to make the following recommendations. Motion. Committee recommends that the town expand the storage unit located behind the recreation center by 16 by 22 feet using its own resources in the amount of $8,800 plus tax. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Henley. Any discussion?
Just wondering about the storage units. We had budgeted money for extra storage units, rental units. Are we still going to be using those too?
These are the units. One was for public works and one was for recreation. A storage container, like a shipping container, was what was originally budgeted, and now this year is going to replace that.
Okay.
In conjunction with public works.
I know we had two, but it's all the same dollars.
This is the same dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried.
Number nine, change rooms. The recreation staff obtained 4 quotes for change rooms, models for Rainbow Gully Park, modules, sorry. The committee would like to make the following recommendation. Motion. Committee recommends that the town rent 2 mobile change rooms from Kent Building Supplies for the amount of $7,744 plus tax for 4 months. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion?
That's for the total of 4 months. That's not each month, is it?
No, that's total.
I couldn't say.
Yeah.
So rent.
Yeah, I'm going to do it myself.
I'd like to just speak to this for a second because, as we all know, we're going into the first year of our fully serviceable turf soccer field. Being involved with soccer for the past 15 years or so, I've gotten to know a lot of people, and the first comment I get now is, you know, what's the next steps on getting the place so that we can actually host a men's league or whatever. Right now, change rooms for kids in the younger minor programs are not an issue. But when it comes to hosting and participating and having adult leagues down in that field, that we have people knocking on the door every day, as we see, we've $80,000+ so far, and the summer is nowhere near yet over. I think when it goes budget time in this fall, that we need to consider using some of the income for the field to actually put something there on a more permanent basis. Every summer, looking at this $70,000 rental, is money that could be going towards something more of a permanent structure and finance it out so that the income from the field actually puts a permanent structure there that has really needs the 4 change rooms and some washrooms in there, so that we actually get the field designed the way that any other the fields were, to give the maximum ability and maximum return from what we got there. Because as we see, we're actually extending the hours and the weeknights to 11:30 in the night because the men's leagues are actually calling wanting to rent field time. Right? So once we see, and again, this is all for discussion, Bob, once we get the summer over and get some real numbers, we need to look at and consider putting something there on a more permanent structure type way that will actually meet our needs for down there at the field.
Is there going to be looking at any structures for the other park as well?
Right there, right now, it's only minor programs running down at the other park. There's no one asking, looking for that, right? It's all about the turf field as well.
That's what the demand is.
That's what the demand is.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Did we move that one? We didn't move that one.
Yeah.
It's all in favor?
Aye.
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 Carried. I'm getting there. Number 10, summer program busing. The summer program coordinator obtained 3 quotes for the busing of summer camp field trips for the summer. The committee would like to make the following recommendations. Motion. Committee recommends that the town award Parsons Bus Company in the amount of $5,146.25 for the summer program field trips as allocated in the budget. So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Neri. Any discussion? Is there a reason why Parsons and not Gladney's? Because Gladney's is in the town. Are they cheaper?
I guess
cheaper.
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
Cheaper is good, I guess, but keeping in mind, I'm hoping that the licensing and the inspections and the insurance issues were level across the board. Because it is our
director's
children, right?
Attention there probably about a month or so ago. So she's
that was.
Yeah. But I can bring it forward again for you.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Not reminded, Gary. I was reading.
Mayor McDonald, may I ask a question now? Councillor Stuart Sharp's going to read the next one.
Sure.
And it talks about town donating staff time and stuff for Brookside. Now, I'm an employee of Brookside. That wouldn't make any difference, that's not.
You're not gaining anything from it, here? Getting overtime pay?
No, I'm just volunteering.
Yeah,
so no issue, just check.
I don't see an issue.
No issue.
Okay.
No issue, so all in favor of no issue for Dave?
Aye.
Okay. You got bigger issues.
Thanks, Mom. No, I'm just checking this out. Okay.
Number 11, community grants. After reviewing the community grant application, the committee would like to put forward the following recommendation. Motion, committee recommends that the town donate staff time, games, and other in-kind services that we can provide to Brookside Intermediate Grade 9 Leaving Ceremony. So moved.
Seconded by Councilor Hanlon. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Dr. Minden? Carried.
Motion, the committee recommends that the town donate $250 to the Beachy Cove Girl Guides for their trip traveling to Halifax to the STEM camp. So moved.
Seconded. Seconded by Councilor Bartlett. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Dr. Minden? Carried.
Committee recommends that the town donate $250 to Sandra Squires for her travels to Quebec in June for National Dart Champions. So moved.
Seconded. Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. He's the first one spoke. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried.
The last motion is committee recommends that the town donate an additional $750 to the Breastless and the Beautiful campaign. So moved.
Seconded.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Lahamp. Any discussion? I'll open maybe a little discussion on this because there was a motion previous that we donated $250 for the Breastless and Beautiful, which are breast cancer survivors, are putting out a calendar similar to our Herb Eyes. And, of course, they're looking for donations. Everyone was told that all ladies, I should say, I guess, I don't know if there's any men in it at all, that are in the calendar, are going to be photoed in the calendar, are from the town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips. Now, this is not only for Portugal Cove St. Phillips, though. It is a Newfoundland thing. It's going right across Newfoundland. I feel that just about every family is touched with cancer, not necessarily breast cancer, but I think it's a good cause that we could give the $1,000 that they asked for. And the committee has agreed. And I don't know if anybody wants anything else to say, but I think it's a good cause. So.
Mayor, I think as well, if I could add, as an individual who sits on that committee, there is a sort of a table policy in place, thanks, Johnny, that suggests how much money is given
yes.
in every situation. And it was a misunderstanding on our part that this was a national organization. And so there's a certain sponsorship level that you give for a national
mm-hmm.
piece as opposed to a provincial piece. And so it was our misunderstanding, which is why we
thank
went
you.
Back and revisited that.
Thank you.
So we're now a platinum sponsor.
So now we're a platinum sponsor for the calendar, which I'm sure is going to be worth hanging on your wall.
Yeah, I'd like to commend the committee for bringing it back to the table as well, learning the information that you learned. And I'd like to commend Dana and the team that she has doing it. I'm following it very closely on her
mm-hmm.
Facebook page and stuff as well. It's just another way to Portugal Cove St. Phillips and the people there.
Yeah, awesome. If anybody read that article yesterday in the paper,
yeah.
the telegram.
I laid it
right
there on the table.
Yeah, it's amazing. But anyway, it's so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Don't remind it? Carried.
And that ends my report.
Thank you. Councillor Bartlett, Public Works.
Thank you. Public Works, we met on May 23rd. In attendance was myself as chair, Deputy Mayor Lahan, Councillor Harding, staff, Heather Codwin, employee and public relations administrator, Chris Middy, town manager and engineer, items 1 and 2, and also in attendance was Mayor McDonald. Item number 1 is Portugal Cove Road Blockway Maintenance. The town manager made contact with the Department of Transportation Works with regards to the maintenance of the walkway along Portugal Cove Road. Transportation Works confirmed the edging is on their docket for maintenance. However, it would be likely they would not be able to get to this for a month or two. The sweeping and painting maintenance is under the town's purview. The committee discussed the deterioration of the green paint, and the town manager will investigate the warranty with the contractor. The committee discussed the idea of placing a curb along the white line of the walkway for better delineation, and the town manager will be meeting with the Department of Transportation Works to discuss this, as well as the Portugal Cove Road, Cross Culver, and Tucker's Hill. Item number two is a sidewalk project for Megan Ridge correspondence. The committee is in receipt of correspondence from a resident of Megan Ridge with concerns regarding the work being performed and the lack of notification from the town. The town manager has responded to the resident with an apology and more information on the project. The resident was grateful for the contact and for the project. The committee discussed the height difference and the cuts for driveways. These will be blended to meet grade, and any necessary repairs will be made to pre-existing lawns and driveways. Item number three is Safe PCSP sign installation. The community group Safe PCSP has ordered three large signs to be installed at the main entrances to the community, and one was presented here tonight. Final installation sites are being discussed with MHA David Brazel, and Public Works has been engaged to install the signs to correspond with the proclamation of June as Pedestrian Safety Month. Item number four, sharp turn caution signs. The Protective Services Committee brought information on a recent motor vehicle accident on the sharp turn along Beachy Cove Road at West Point Road. In the interest of community safety, they recommend the acquisition and installation of caution signs to be placed on either direction of the corner to warn motorists. The Public Works Department will order and install signs. Items for discussion, number five, Waste Management A, Eastern Regional Service Board comparison, that was deferred for another date. B, Solid Waste presentation is on June 20th. The presentation is still scheduled and on track for this date. Discussion item number six, road and stormwater issues, 6A. Portugal Cove Road Cross Culvert, the town manager is to meet with Transportation Works to discuss. 6B, Tucker's Hill Road, the town manager is to meet again with Transportation Works to discuss. And item C and D, Dogberry Hill Road Extension and Drover's Heights were deferred for next Public Works meeting. Item number seven is the Director of Public Works, the update, and I think Tony mentioned this earlier. The interview committee will be conducting first round interviews this week. Second round interviews will be scheduled for the second week of June. Next item, number eight, wastewater treatment plant. I believe that's a typo. It says number five, but it should say number eight. Service interruption. The mayor noted brown water in the outflow of the treatment plant and spoke directly to the plant operator. The operator was investigating the brown water at the time and confirmed it was a stuck valve, which may need to be replaced depending on the outcome of an investigation. The committee discussed the possibility of placing a monitor camera on the outflows of both plants, which could be done in a mobile away from a laptop, so you'd always have a picture to show that the water's changing color. And there ends report for Public Works.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Economic Development, Marketing, Communication, and Tourism. Councillor Neary.
Thank you, Mayor McDonald. Present was myself as chair, Councillor Bartlett for items 2 to 8, Councillor Stuart Sharp, Jeff Lawler, Director of Economic Development, Marketing, and Communications. Number one, heritage updates. The wooden boat project has concluded with 4 participants throughout the week. The boats are now completed, and the Recreation Department will be preparing for the regatta in June. The regatta in town received a great deal of media and public support for the project over the last few weeks. The Regatta Festival Week will also feature a rope hooking class to promote the heritage and history of that practice in the community and the province. We've been invited to contribute to the Cultural Action Renewal Plan that the province is developing. Our Heritage Coordinator, Julie Pomeroy, is sitting on their working group. Artifact displays are being installed at Brookside Intermediate and the Town Hall for this fall. Items in the displays will change regularly. We were unsuccessful in receiving ECHO funding through Conservation Corps Newfoundland and Labrador, which would have provided support to the Pickles Ridge Memorial Project. A working group is now being established that will include staff of PCSP and Torbay, along with members of the families of the tragedy. Parks Canada officials will also be invited to contribute. An RFP will be developed to start the process of the memorial. Number two, environment updates. Interviews for the Summer Green Team will start the week of May 28th. The community cleanup is starting this weekend. which is this weekend past, and will run over the course of 1 week, changing it from the regular one-day event. We have partnered with Murray's Garden Center and the Grounds Cafe on the event in order to provide an incentive for residents to participate. Participants will receive free beverages from the Grounds Cafe for their participation, and through a social media contest, they will also have a chance to win gift cards. Gloves and bags for the community cleanup can be picked up at the town hall. The climate change projects have started. The first meeting will take place at the Manuals River Interpretation Center on June 11th. Council, staff, ACE members, and a number of stakeholders will be invited to attend. Members of ACE met with the P&D committee to discuss regulations surrounding steep slopes. The information obtained will help council consider potential changes. The community garden is full this year with all the beds being used. The school is very involved, as is the town, with a bed each to help showcase and promote gardening in PCSP. The Director of Economic Development is attending the Stewardship Association of Municipalities, AGM, on May 25th to the 26th in Stephenville. Number three, the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce is finalizing their SWOT plan at a meeting on Wednesday, May the 23rd. At that meeting, they will also discuss the potential of a community tourism plan and have scheduled a meeting with the town's advisory committees on June 6th to discuss further. Number four, media training. The committee was presented a number of options for media training by Waterworks Communications. Upon their review, the committee is asking for more information to be provided on several options before making a decision on what to recommend to council. Number five, tourism signage and wayfinding. The Director of Economic Development updated the committee on the status of the funding for the project. The town will now be seeking funding for the regional component and a separate application for PCSP-specific signage. A meeting with funding reps is scheduled for later this week. Number six, Portugal Cove Lookout. A lookout for Portugal Cove was identified for the town's budget of 2018. Different land options are being considered prior to the release of an RFP for this project. Number seven, the service level review. Edits to the service level review are being finalized and will be submitted to council prior to the public meeting for review and consideration. I'd just like to give an update to that, that we can expect that that will actually be delivered to us hopefully by the end of this week. Number eight, tourism opportunity. A meeting is being scheduled with a potential tourism operator in the community at a future committee meeting. And so ends my report.
Thank you. Protective Services, Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you, Mayor McDonald. Protective Services met on May 22nd. I was there as chair. Also in attendance was Councillor Neary, Councillor Bartlett, Heather Coughlin, our Employee and Public Relations Administrator, Fred Hallett, our co-chief, and Richard Murphy, our co-chief, and Pierre Morey from the Commissioners. Item number one, Commissioners, Municipal Enforcement. The Municipal Enforcement Officer offered the following update on activities since the last committee meeting. He attended the Police Week Memorial Service on May the 16th. He met with a resident regarding activity in a wooded area on Neary's Pond Road. Concerned about whether or not emergency vehicles could access the wood if needed. Municipal Enforcement Officer has increased patrols in the area to mitigate activity. The fire department confirmed that only the pickup trucks were able to access this particular area. Increased patrols on Brookside Place and Maggie's Place. Some complaints from the Thorburn Woods area. Youths damaging vehicles and suspicious person seen lingering in the car. Emails were received from Neighborhood Watch regarding these complaints, and the Municipal Enforcement Officer's staff responded immediately. Complaint of heavy equipment activity at 116 Bennett's Road. Investigation was completed and operation was shut down as per the town regulations. The MEO spoke directly to the operator and made him aware of the regulations. Complainant was very appreciative of the prompt response. And just to give you a backup, the part of the Neighborhood Watch regarding a complaint of someone lingering around in the car, he was actually a salesman for Vivid Security Systems. But it was an unmarked car and there was someone in it that didn't look appropriate, and Neighborhood Watch was all over. And they got in contact with the commissioners and they were there within a certain period of time, and the poor fella got rigged over the calls. Ongoing things, civic numbering assessments is ongoing, information cards are on order, and the traffic regulations, we're still waiting for a response back from Transportation and Works. Reports of damage to Murray's Garden Center property with ATVs and dirt bikes were shared by council members. The Municipal Enforcement Officer is going to investigate that. The committee's in receipt of correspondence from residents regarding returning noise complaint. The same issue was investigated by them last year, and town staff is also going to follow up with the complainant for further details to see if any change from the previous year, and the extent of the previous investigation was clarified with the committee. Item number two, fire emergency services updates. We had three responses, one of which is a medical call, one residential alarm bell, and one motor vehicle accident. Training, May 14th, Module 2 of the Road to Mental Readiness, R2MR program was done, and on May the 7th, no training scheduled due to a holiday weekend. Other activity, FESNL Fire School is actually this week, May the 26th, they're told of 8 firefighters attending various programs. Recruit training is ongoing. The first smokehouse exercise that occurred on May 12th. Recruit training is on target to wrap up approximately late July. The motor vehicle accident attended was at the sharp corner of Beechey Cove Road at West Point Road. In interest of community safety, the committee recommended installation of caution sign, and we forward this on to Public Works, as we just heard from that committee report. The chief said draft 10-8 in the works for the bonfire advisory signage. More information will be brought to the next committee meeting. Item number three, feeding wildlife regulations. The town manager is continuing to investigate best practices in the development of a feeding wildlife regulation. The draft regulation has been started and will be circulated to the rest of the committee in the near future. Item number four, emergency management plan. The chiefs are continuing to review the town's current emergency management plan. More details will be brought back to the committee when available. The potential of an emergency exercise this fall was also discussed. Possibility of this coinciding with fire prevention week. And that ends my report.
Thank you, Councillor Henry. Administration and Finance, Deputy Mayor Lahan.
Thank you, Your Worship. Excuse me. Administration and Finance Committee met May 22nd, 2018, and in attendance was myself as chairperson, Councillor Stuart Sharrett, Councillor Hardy, and Mayor McDonald. Staff was Chris Lilly, Town Manager, Engineer, Tony Pollard, Director of Financial Operations, Town Clerk, and Claudia Murray, Deputy Town Clerk. Item number one, accounts for payment. Motion. Committee recommends council approve payment of regular accounts in the amount of $41,325.04 and capital accounts in the amount of $87,627.01 for a total of $128,952.05. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Stuart Sharp. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Undermined? Carried.
Item number two, correspondence, DMAE Capital Investment Plan Approval. On May 16, 2018, the committee received a letter approving the town's revised capital investment plan to finalize accounts for the Thornton Road, Dogberry Hill Road, sidewalks, and the Portugal Cove Walkability Project. Item number three, correspondence, DMAE FCM Grants for Climate Change. On May 17, 2018, the committee received a circular pertaining to staff grants for municipalities to advance climate change work for the Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment. This item is for information only. The Economic Development, Marketing and Communications Department are applying for the grant. Item 4, non-unionized positions. Further to the notice of motion to include the chairperson of the Minute Finance Committee in all steps of the process of hiring non-union positions, committee puts forth the following motion. Motion. Committee recommends the council adopt the revised hiring non-unionized personnel policy to include the chairperson of Administration and Finance Committee as part of the interview committee. So moved.
Seconded
by Councillor Hardy. Any discussion?
Yes, Mayor. I just wanted to inquire about, I guess, looking at the reasoning behind having to introduce another member of council to be part of these particular meetings and hiring committees that are taking place. I just wonder where it is that we have a position or a role that needs to be attending to that, if somebody could enlighten me.
Okay, well, we have a policy which states that this is for non-unionized employees, am I correct?
Yes.
Applicants are shortlisted by the town manager the chair of administration and finance committee, chair of the appropriate committee, or councilor designate, and one or two other persons chosen by the town manager. In another section, it's an interview committee consisting of the town manager, the mayor or the mayor's designate, the chair of the administration and finance committee, and at least one other director or expert in the field. So that's our committee now consists of two managers, two director managers, our town clerk, our town manager, our HR person, and myself. Four people on the committee, I think, is sufficient, and maybe the wording of this motion could change to say, I'm just throwing this out now for discussion, okay? The committee recommends that council adopt a revised hiring non-unionized personnel to, not to include, but how can we put it to have the mayor or the mayor's designate? Because I don't think there's need of two of us being there. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's
the mayor designate is already there.
Mayor designate is already there.
No, mayor or designate.
Mayor or designate. That's what it means. It means you or somebody else.
Right.
Do we need this piece of legislation, though?
But do we need another motion, then? Because that motion don't say that. That motion says in addition to include.
Right, and this is very specific to be the chair of the A&F committee, and as we know, our committees can change at any time, and so...
That's the whole point, is to have the chair of Min of Finance, because they are the chair of Min of Finance, so you're hiring people under that committee.
But it wouldn't always be the same person, so at any time it's going to be different.
That's the whole point.
And so it's just a matter of wondering why it is that we have to put ourselves in the position again to be involving ourselves within what the town staff are very capable of doing and what we've been doing up until now with the mayor or designate that's involved. I'm not sure why we have to put another council member there as well to be, I don't know, monitoring what's...
Well, if I may, the chair of our administration and finance committee, in my opinion, would be there to oversee the hiring of administration and the finance of it.
And that's
and
my question.
That would be,
I don't know why we need to, in our position, why we need to oversee that. I think that the individuals...
We're not overseeing it because there's no decision-making being done. There are two levels here in the process. One level is to have the screening process done, of which right now we have the chair of whatever committee is involved, if available, and the mayor with town staff, or a mayor's designate if the mayor can't make it.
Okay, that's not necessarily correct, Don, because the chair of the committee involved is not on the committee.
On the
hiring committee.
I didn't say hiring committee. I said on the interviewing committee.
Yeah.
The interview process is a different setup.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right?
I thought you said the interview committee.
No.
Okay.
Well, the interview committee. It is the committee that has the interviews. The selection committee is then the mayor or the mayor's designee.
Well, okay. Then,
right?
To me, Tony, can you clarify that?
Yeah,
I just don't want to see us having to continue to put ourselves in a position to be overstepping what it is that our boundaries are. And I mean, the language we use is, you know, getting in the weeds. And I don't see that.
I don't see when you're hiring top administration, I don't see that as being in the weeds.
No,
at all.
Absolutely.
Well, I think up until now, though, I mean, the responsibility.
This is director level positions, right?
Absolutely. And
yes.
The individuals that are stated within our present policy are individuals that are quite capable of taking care of that situation. I just don't understand why we would want to.
I don't understand why you would want to.
More.
Yeah,
I don't see that.
Well, we can have one or the other.
Because something is policy. Policies are living and breathing, and they change all times as different circumstances come in. In regards to hiring of administrative staff or department heads, it's not something that happens quite frequently. Thank God, but I can't see of any reason not to have the chair of administration and finance be involved in the selection process of administrators. And keeping in mind that the decision-making for the position actually comes back to council, the same as it does from any other committee, and council decides. So, you know, sure. To me, I don't see any reason not to have the, and it's not the one person, it's the position of the chair of administration and finance being involved in the hiring of administrators.
You're the chair of administration and finance, that doesn't give you any greater qualification than somebody else who could be in another position, be it Public Works, Economic, Recreation, Protective Services, or Planning and Development. I do think we're getting into the weeds. I do think we have a very competent staff who, you know, this is not their first time around. They've hired wonderful staff members through a very developed interview process. I think it's getting in the weeds, and I think it's almost, in some ways, second-guessing the qualifications of our staff that I think are very qualified and competent to make these decisions. I think if we wanted to sit in on it, I don't think that would be an issue or make a suggestion, but I think it's almost interference. Yeah. And to make one position of administration and finance, and it's not about you being chair of administration.
No, it's not about the person.
No, it's about the position.
Like Public Works, they're looking for a Public Works director. I've been chair of Public Works now for my fifth year. I'm not involved in the interview process. I'm confident that our staff are more than able and capable of finding the right person for the position. And to me, this is my personal view, I think it would be almost interfering.
But aren't you, as the chair of the Public Works, invited to sit on the interview process?
Yes.
It's stated in the policy.
It is. You are invited.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to know when to let people do their jobs and let them determine. Because they've been at this position for quite a long time. Just because I'm chair of Public Works doesn't mean I would know more about Public Works than many of the staff that are not even involved in the Public Works Department.
But you will use that committee position to come back then to council.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, if that's the case, then, it's almost a moot point. You should say the chair of
And that's
Public
where trusting
Works.
The mayor or designate to be able to
right.
send
it. I trust this staff fully.
I
don't think it's an issue of trust at all.
No, I put myself there because everybody else is working and I'm not. So yeah.
But
I'm available
states,
all
the mayor
day long.
Or designate. I mean,
and it has been all day long. I mean, we start at 9:30 in the morning, and
that's just 4:30, 5 o'clock.
I agree with you. Yeah.
But we can go along with this, but I don't see any more than four people interviewing a person. I wouldn't want to be in with five or six people interviewing. I think four people is plenty, and it doesn't matter. One or the other can be there. Either the mayor or the chair of the designate, right? So we can, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have a motion, we have a seconder, so.
I'd like to have a couple of words on this. I'm a little disappointed in myself, actually, because I haven't read this particular policy prior to a couple of days ago when this came up. Just to clarify something here a minute ago, Dave is not expected, unless assigned by the mayor, to go on the interview committee as per how it's written here right now. The director of the department is not on the interview committee.
The old policy?
The current one that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? This is what we're going to pass. I think a 22-step policy to hire a non-unionized position, we're not hiring a town manager, we're hiring a director, is a little bit extravagant. Numerous steps here, I think, are open us up to get a bunch of different opinions with so many different people in the room and cause for delays, if nothing else. I think that we should be governing the town rather than trying to manage, because this seems like we're trying to manage the town. I don't agree with saying one or the other. I agree that council should have representation on a director, but it should be either the mayor or his or her designate. Period. It is one person representing the council that they can report back to council. It's going to put a bunch of different, and this is, take every person out of this room and try to apply it to another group of people, and that's where it's two. We're creating something that it's position oriented, and a bunch of people in a room. First time I ever saw a committee to shortlist somebody when you're actually comparing a person's credentials towards a job ad and a job description, which is compare side by side. A spreadsheet can do that for you, and any one person can create a shortlist from a group of candidates with a very basic, simple software program, nothing else. So I to see that we need two different committees to hire a director, I think this is really, really out there. I think the whole works of it needs to be reviewed, in my opinion. And I can't support it in the way that it's written there now, to add in more counselors and something that we shouldn't be at that level.
Maybe we should be revising the whole policy.
Totally agree. And I actually read the Municipalities Act tonight, and once we actually hire a town manager to manage the town, we should be taking direction directly from him.
Absolutely.
And right in the act of how this, and I don't see the town manager's recommendation on this whatsoever. So to follow the act, I think this should go back for a revision and get our town manager to put something forward to us and see if we agree with it or not. My two cents.
So if we...
Can we call a question?
If we leave it as is, that it's the town manager, another manager, the mayor or designate, and the HR person.
For first step, but then there's another group for the next step.
Well, then can't we leave that for the next step as well?
That's why I'm wondering why it's not in this way. That's why I think that this whole...
I mean, I can designate Jeff or Dave or...
And I think that's why
review.
I brought forward is just to recognize...
Or whoever.
That, yeah,
for
I mean,
the next
what
step.
Deputy Mayor
right?
said is, as far as revising the whole... Taking a look at the whole process again and the whole policy, I think it's a great idea because that's why I brought it forward. I just wasn't feeling comfortable with the way that it was looking to me when I reviewed it earlier.
Tony, do you have anything to add to that, or is there any...
I can add to it, I suppose, somewhat, but I mean, it's two different steps altogether. One is, and to the Councillor Hanlon's point, the screening can be done probably a little more simplistic than the actual interview process itself, but the way it's written here is that it allows for a wider input of council or personnel at that point in time to run through the list of applicants to shortlist. And then in terms of trying to coordinate, the more people you put on a coordination committee for interviewing process, I know it's certainly going to slow the process down and going to create complications by trying to schedule time for everybody to show up, the more people you put there. So certainly the town manager is there and the mayor or designate, and that can be anybody, if he or she wants to step aside and let the chair of Main Finance sit in on it, and that's allowed already. And then it's just one other person who, a director or expert in the field, given on the position that you're trying to hire for, so that they can have some direct commentary on what they feel the person's qualifications are or not. I think it should be shorter than longer, but at the end of the day, we can work with anything that's there. It is going to make it a little more complicated, and also to the mayor's point is, it's a little more intimidating for those folks coming into it, sit around a table with five people staring you down and an interview process. Although that's not unusual either. I have been in interviews where there's five or six, and that's part of the test as well. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So just to be clear,
I know that doesn't help anything.
Sorry, Councillor Stewart Sharp.
Since we all seem to be in agreement that the whole policy of hiring needs to be changed. Did you want to delay your motion?
On point of clarity first, the shortlisting does require the chair of the appropriate committee. That's in step number five.
Yes.
The committee that brings back the suggestion or recommendation for the successful applicant, excuse me, is in step number eight, where the chair of that particular committee is not included. If we're going to do this, do we set a timeline for us to have this done by? Or do we just...
You mean to have the employee...
The policy,
the person,
policy
review.
Do we set a timeline to get it done? Because it's no good to say we're going to review it and then leave it there till the cows come home.
No, because we need a director.
Well, it wouldn't affect this position.
Well, affect this anyway.
Wouldn't affect this position
right.
Anyway. This was just
wouldn't,
for the future.
Yeah.
So, I would suggest we go through with the motion, have it be defeated, as opposed to me taking back the motion without knowing if this is ever going to be done.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair enough.
So we do have a mover and a seconder.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In favor of the motion?
Yes.
Is in favor of the revised policy.
All in favor of
the revised policy.
The way it's read right now. So.
Yeah. No, no.
The revised policy.
The revised policy of including the
how this
chair
is right now.
Huh?
How this, we got a copy, everyone got a copy.
No. That's the 2012 document.
No.
What we're voting on
this one,
is to include the, yeah, you're looking at the original.
You're looking at the original, this one, red is revised.
And red is included on that back there.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
You're voting not to include the chair of administration finance at this point in time. That's what
yes,
the vote is.
That's what the
vote is. Nothing else changed from the
that's
original.
That's actually on this one here.
This
it
is.
This
is the updated
the
policy.
Yes, that's the
updated.
That's
the updated.
That's the updated.
That's not what's being voted on.
We're voting on the motion as read.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
On the motion as
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contraminded?
So you're voting to include the chairperson of Admin and Finance?
I'm not to include, no. Okay? I'm taking out include.
So then
can we read the motion again so we
yes,
are
please,
fully clear on what people are voting on?
Just to make the waters clear, yes.
Yeah.
Committee recommends
the
council adopt the revised hiring non-unionized personnel policy to include the chairperson of Administration and Finance Committee as part of the interview committee. So moved.
And second.
Sorry, yeah, it's already moved. So if you want the
now,
administrator
again?
Finance, the minutes finance in the policy, then you're for the motion. If you do not want them, if you want the policy left as is, you're against it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Undermined?
Aye.
Okay, and for the record, those that voted against it is Deputy Mayor Lahan, Councillor Harding, Councillor
no.
Stewart.
No, no, we voted
for
it.
Sorry, I have four wrote there, and I'm sorry.
Against
is the mayor.
I know it's getting late.
And Councillor Neary and Councillor Bartlett and Councillor Hanlon are against the motion as read by Deputy Mayor Lahan.
We need an easy
perfect.
Button.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And that's with the understanding that that will come back for overall revision, right?
Well, that's going to be another motion, no?
Okay.
It goes back to committee for redo whatever you got to do with it.
Yeah. So I'd like to make a motion now that our hiring policy for non-union workers be taken under review for this year.
And so you're going to have to wait in the proper line of the agenda to
or
get
that,
to that.
Yeah.
Can
that's
what
we're doing, right?
No,
no business?
No.
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 No. Oh, that's in your report, for God's sake. I'm sorry, yes.
Can I suggest that if you're going to change the policy, you want to do it for directors, you don't necessarily want to do it for managers, just throwing it out there? Because I know there the non-unionized now covers more than what directors. There's Claudine is now deputy clerk, is there now the employee relations officer, is there now manager of waste or wastewater is there now.
Yeah, we'll
right.
deal with that on our new business. Now let him go through that. Let him go through his report. That was my mess up. I thought we were already in the new business. Apologies.
Item 5. Colt Road Project. Committee reviewed options for Colt Road Upgrade Project with regards to including walkability, water, sewer, and or paving. Communication will be prepared for residents requesting feedback for their wants for the project. Item 6. Water meter project. Town manager expecting a revised change order, project charter, and schedule before the next committee meeting will bring the information to committee for recommendation. So ends my report.
I'd like to make a suggestion that water metering project be called zone metering project from now on, just so that people out there are not going, oh, water metering is back on again, because it's not part of it.
So noted. Correspondence received. There was about a town that they've been sent to the proper departments. Light pole on Netherwood Street, the school zone and sidewalk maintenance. Request for a youth group, which we went through in the minutes. Request for relief of paying water and sewer taxes. Upcoming asset management training, capital investment plan approval, FCM grants for advancement of climate change work, which we also went through in one of the committees, stakeholder consultations on the municipal legislative review, which we also done, and special advisory fund. So the letters have all been sent to the appropriate departments. And is there any new business?
There you go. Based on the dialogue and debate that we just had in the chamber, and I agree with Councillor Hanlon, I'd like to make a notice of motion, not a motion right now, that for the next meeting, that we have a motion to readdress, review the hiring policy for, now, it says, well, you don't have to put in there, basically, the whole policy.
Can I suggest? Can just do the motion.
Yeah.
Why don't you just commit to take it back to your committee to review it?
Well, I was going on your suggestion to revamp the whole thing,
but
your words.
But it starts at your committee level. You don't need a notice of motion for that.
Okay.
Because it don't give you time enough. A notice of motion brings the motion to the next meeting. They don't have time enough to revise that, us, everyone to review it and bring it back to the table.
Good point.
Because you want to let your thoughts and prepare.
Right. Good
point. Just have it in the minutes that it's guaranteed to be discussed at
the next
meeting.
Next, the next committee meeting, Tom.
Yep.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anything further? On no further business?
No. You do it already. I do? Got an issue that has come up that I'm going to need council's decision on once and for all. If
you want me to do it? Do you want me to read it? Or?
No, I'll read it out there, and then I'll say under 207 you can ask me any questions or whatever, and then 209 you guys can make your decision. Whereas Councillor Harding is an employee of Murray's Pond Country Club, he has asked council to decide if he is in conflict of interest for matters he is voting on with regards to a person that merely has a membership at Murray's Pond Country Club, where he has no specific interest in the matter distinct from the interest arising from his council function, which is in an interest held in common with other citizens. And whereas Councillor Harding nor Murray's Pond Country Club have no monetary interest in the matter. So be it resolved. Oh, no. I'm asking council, so be it resolved. That Councillor Harding is not in conflict of interest for matters he is voting on with regards to a person that is merely a member of Murray's Pond Country Club, where he has no specific interest in the matter from interest arising from his council function, which is an interest held in common with other citizens, whereas Councillor Harding nor Murray's Pond Country Club have any monetary interest in the matter. Basically, thanks for writing that up for me to make sure we got the nomenclature right. Basically, once and for all wise, if a member of Murray's Pond Country Club puts in a permit, or puts in an application to build a fence, build a house, build a shed, build a building, and I'm not getting anything directly out of it, and neither is Murray's Pond, can council make one decision here now so I'm not getting this put up to me again, that I'm not in a conflict of interest? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Is the member on the board of Murray's Pond then would influence the cost of your pay increase?
No, I'm under a 5-year contract. My money is my money for 5 years.
Again, that part, I'm just in 5 years' time, kind of. Like, I don't know that part.
I'm not going to be here 5 years' time.
But what I'm getting at is it a member of the board that can adjust your pay in relation to...
No one member of the board can adjust my pay. If a member of the board is putting a fence on his property, I get no gain back from that whatsoever. Or a outhouse or whatever it is that he's going to build. It's just that with 120 family members over there, the majority of living in our town boundary, this is going to keep coming up. So I'm asking council, to make a decision once and for all. Now, having said that, if something comes up where I feel like I'm in conflict, then I'm going to definitely put it out there for sure as well. But in regards to the general operation, where I'm not in any different interest than any other person in this town, and neither is Murray's Pond Country Club, I'd like to be able to just move forward on it if we could.
Could I just add to the end of the motion that I wrote for Councillor Harding? It says, for matters, Councillor Harding and or Murray's Pond Country Club do have a monetary interest. This motion does not apply.
Perfect.
So.
Right, that was my next question. Does it relate to rent the place for town functions? And that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, we already ruled
that. That's the part, just to clarify, because most times when you're dealing with a conflict in relation to one, it becomes one thing, but this is two different things. Right?
Yeah, two totally different things. This is about a member who lives in the community wanting to put in an application for something.
It's just that the person merely has a membership.
Yeah.
It's
right.
The
so
only relation.
Like that's a long motion to get your head around without actually seeing it in front of you. Like, have we got a copy of that in our, is that in this here?
Was that on
it's
that
written late this afternoon.
Right, that's the part that I'd like to see the wording of it, really, to be... Like even if, but to read that now without having time to do it, I think we should have this prior to throwing at us at the end of the meeting, so we can actually get our head around it. Like
should we defer?
Yeah, we can defer.
Time.
Like, that's right. Like I'd like to
defer.
Just so that maybe it
just needs a decision made because it's
right.
Every for next.
Because we need to ask right questions.
Well, that's why 207. I'm here to ask.
You know, written in private or we're getting a phone call or something like that, right?
All good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, is that it? Any further? God almighty, I'll pass my bedtime. Folks, we kept you on tonight. This was an interesting one, though, wasn't it? That
lots of great
can things. We have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Councillor Mary, Secretary. Councillor Barton. Councillor Laham.
I stole the thunder.
You know what? It's okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
That was. I don't know. I'll just write it down. I think it's unanimous.
It is.
I'm not touching her phone.
She knows that one.
Oh, you
got
her one. Yeah. You don't touch her thing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You crush her.